My name is Brad Price. I want to welcome you to this Bible study in Revelation chapter 17. In this study, we're going to be looking at Revelation chapter 17, verses 12 through 18. We have our normal two teachers with us, Ivy Connor and Lonnie Woodruff. As we always do, we start out with reading the text, and we want to go ahead and pull that up now and make sure that we get that before us, and then we'll let Ivy start off. He's going to probably back up a little bit and give us a little bit of what we looked at last time. Starting in Revelation chapter 17 and verse 12, John said, "And the 10 horns that thou sawest are 10 kings, who have received no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority as kings with the beast for 1 hour. These have one mind, and they give their power and authority unto the beast. These shall war against the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they also shall overcome, that are with him, called and chosen and faithful. And he saith unto me, The waters which thou sawest, where the harlot sitteth, are peoples, and multitudes, and nations, and tongues. Then finally we come down to verses 16, 17, and 18, and the 10 horns which thou sawest in the beast, these shall hate the harlot, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and shall burn her utterly with fire. For God did put in their hearts to do his mind, and to come to one mind, and to give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God should be accomplished. And the woman whom thou sawest is the great city, which reigneth over the kings of the earth." That's our reading. Now we're going to turn things over to Ivy.
Okay, I want to cover a little bit of tie together seven, and then what we're going to study tonight. And this is all subject to discussion and opinion and differences, and that's fine. I'll give you what I have on that. 17 and verse 7, we'll start there. "The angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman." This angel has a responsibility to tell us what the mystery is. We're going to find out the mystery. I have to read three books or go back through the book. He's going to concisely tell us what the mystery of the woman is in this sequence right here. Listen carefully. "And of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and the 10 horns." The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. That's where Satan lived, you know, and go into perdition, go into destruction. "And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world." These are the heathen. They're going to wonder what's going on here when they behold the beast that was and is and yet is. It was not and is. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. Well, the mountains, we know that the hills of Rome, several seven mountains, a city on the seven mountains, that this is a look at Rome, a setting of Rome there. And she is over this government. She's over this place that is the enemy of the Christians. And she is there ruling, sitting on these thrones, and she are sitting on the mountains. And she's come out of the sea. And so here we are. "And there are seven kings, five are fallen." So there's seven kings in this. And he says one is, the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. So there's one that is, one king that is, five of the kings are gone of the Caesars. And one is not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue for a short space. And the beast that was and is not even in the eighth, it is the eighth, and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. Now, I'll simply say that many think that this is was Nero. There was a philosophy or a theory that Nero was going to come back. He was the one that was the awful, awful persecutor of Christians. He was ungodly. Some say he burnt the town of Rome down and blamed it on the Christians and brought ghastly persecution against Christians for that. But they think that Nero did it. He wanted to rebuild it in his image. He was a nasty, very tremendous persecutor of Christians. But we then have Tyrus and others that are coming to reign, and they're not going to be involved in a whole lot of persecution. But the one that we're looking at that was the seventh, that was the eighth of a seven, and part of the eighth that was of the seventh, that was Domitian, we believe, in the sequence of the order of the Caesars. And there are several different sequences of Caesars. There were really 10 in this list. three were knocked out because they were they only rained for a very short time, a couple of months or something like that. They really had nothing to do with the reign of Rome and the persecution of the Christians. So verse 12 says that the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. So they're on the beast team, but these don't have a long reign. They're only 1 hour, very short time in symbolism here of these 10. 10 means complete. These are rulers, but the commentators and the people look at this say, well, we really don't know who these particular were. We can't go and enumerate all of these. So these are like vassals or pawns that that Caesar could use as his subjects as these different kings came under the Roman rule. But he says, as yet, they have not received the power as kings for 1 hour. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength to the beast. So they're supporting Rome, these 10 kings, small kings, reigning for 1 hour. They will make war with the Lamb. Well, that's symbolism. That's Jesus, of course. And the Lamb shall overcome. That word is Nike. The word Nike means victory, conquer, overcome. The Lamb. Imagine if a lamb got in a fight with a big dragon like we've heard here. He got no chance. The Lamb's got no chance unless that Lamb is Jesus. That is Jesus. And as we know, the end of the book, Jesus is going to conquer with his victory throughout that, all through the book and through the end of the book also. Therefore, these shall make war with the Lamb. The Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords, King of kings. These Caesars thought they were kings. They're a big deal. They're going to find out they're nothing, that Christ is going to rule over all, is going to triumph over them. And this is the story of Revelation, victory. Three words, victory in Jesus. More words, victory in Jesus over the enemy. The enemy that I see is Rome and the Roman Empire here. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the horse sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. Now, if you were raised like I was, we didn't go around using that word whore. Harlot is a little softer word, but the Bible uses the word whore. It has a hurtful image. It is difficult to say and to think even for me, and I think for most Christians, but it's meant to jar us. It's meant to be a galling thing. She's an evil, evil, wicked woman that caused the destruction of thousands and hundreds of thousands of Christians. So that's what we're dealing with here, is this harlot, Babylon, who is really, who is fueling this thing with Rome. And they're in cahoots together. They're enemies together. And she's going to come and seek to destroy these Christians. So these 10 horns, verse 16, which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore. These 10 kings that were giving their power to him turned on her, on the harlot. They hated her and shall make her desolate, empty, and alone, and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. She's going to be responded. The Rome's going to turn on itself. And the wicked are going to come back on the harlot and say, we don't want this. And they're going to weaken and bring Rome down. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will. God gave these 10 kings, these short-term kings, the power to make the turn as they go after Rome. And Rome begins to fall in the pattern that the Bible gives us here symbolically. And he says, and to agree to give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. God caused this to happen. God providentially caused this turn about and caused the harlot to be destroyed. And the woman which thou sawest is the great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. Now, some people, and this is in my notes, I'm not even going to go to that, Brad, but the king that you, the city that you saw, the harlot here, is the great city, that would be Rome, that ruled over the kings of the earth. Doesn't say shall rule. Some people, well, this is going to be the Holy Roman Empire. It's going to come in and do this, and the Catholic Church don't believe so. This is the present tense is used here. These things, they have this. They have this rulership. These are current things going on there, not something we're looking at, 100 years or 500 years or 1,000 years away. This is unfolding now within the rulership and reign of them. The beast was not, there was no persecution during the time Revelation was written at this time, but it's coming back under Domitian. That's even more blatant and more painful and more destructive than was Nero's. So that's what I see in this. But verse 18 is the key. Verse 18, you don't have to have interpolation. You don't need a commentary or anything. We know who ruled the world at that time when John wrote the book of Revelation. It's Rome. Wake somebody up at 3 o'clock in the morning in Rome. Hey, who rules their world? They say, hey, go to sleep. Go. Everybody knows Rome rules the world. And that's who it is. This harlot is the city. It's the wicked, evil city that ruled over the kings of the earth. And that's my analysis of those passages. We get into more detail, Brad.
Okay, thank you very much. Let's go back to verses 12 and 13. Lonnie, some things there that you want to bring out?
Well, I'll start with 12 there and kind of go through it like Ivy did, and we'll talk about some things and come back and redo them if we want to. As all of you know that have watched any of this, is that Ivy and I have two really opposite ways of looking at this book. Ivy ties everything to the Roman Empire, and I'll let him, if that's not a correct statement, I'll let him, but it's close, I guess. I do not believe that's the case. I believe that God has given a revelation of the Christian dispensation. I do not believe that it's about Rome. I think one of the things that we do in discussing Revelation is that we forget the purpose of this book. The purpose of this book is to give us a revelation about the church. It's about the church. Now, just as it was in the Old Testament and the Old Testament prophets, they mentioned and told us about events that would take place in other nations that affected Israel. And I think that's what we see in Revelation. Revelation is an entire revelation of the Christian dispensation, beginning from the time it was written. In fact, there are references in Revelation to events that took place before the book was written. And therefore, we can look and we can see that these are pictures of the Christian dispensation. So I do not in any way believe that this is all tied to the Roman government, to Rome. Now, as we go through this, I think there will be some things. I'm sure you've probably never heard some of the things that I'm going to say here in a few minutes, but I think they're very pertinent to our understanding of the church throughout the Christian dispensation. We'll begin with verse 12. The 10 horns, which you saw, are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet. Now, we must go back and understand that the first picture of this beast was the picture of the devil, the red devil in chapter 12. It had 7 heads and 10 horns. Now, what we have to ascertain then as we go through here is what's the meaning of the heads and the horns. Well, the head of anything is something that operates it, turns it, thinks for it. And so I think the picture there is that the devil is working today through the heads of the beast. His heads are those governmental authorities that rule over the people of this world. and not just up to the time of Rome, but until the end of time. Now, so what we have here is a period of time of 10 horns. Now, we've gone through the seven heads, which I believe the seven heads are biblically defined for us as Egypt, Syria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome. And then the one after that would be the Holy Roman Empire. So that would be seven beasts, unless I left one out, I may have. But those are the biblical governments that affected God's people during the Old Testament time. And that's why they're written about. Not because it's not written about Assyria, it's not written about Babylon. But we have a lot of information because of how they dealt with God's people. Now, I think we have to understand that, and that is true in the New Testament in the book of Revelation. We pass a period of time of the seven heads. I've named those a moment ago. We pass the period of time of the seven heads, and we come into a period of time of 10 horns. Now, horns represent power. That can be easily defined in the Old Testament by book of Daniel. Some of the animals that came up had horns, and then they were broken or they got larger, and it showed something about that particular empire. So we have now a period of 10 horns. Now, 10 is the number of physically complete. We don't know how many there will be. I don't think it's a specific number. I think it is a general number, just meaning lots. There will be lots of horns. And when you look at it, then that is precisely what happened after the Roman government fell. The Holy Roman government took over and lasted for 1,400 years or so. Guess at that, you can look that up. And then the world went into a time of multiple governments, where there are many, many governments in this world. And I think that is what's represented by the 10 horns. And it says that, it says there, which you saw 10 kings which have received no kingdom as yet. So we're talking about something past the time of Rome. They have not received kingdoms. So we're looking sometime in the future to that. Who have received no kingdoms yet, but they receive authority 1 hour with kings as the beast. So they are going to be the devil's advocate on this earth for a period of time. And again, we don't know what 1 hour means. It just means a shorter period of time, possibly. Some will be long, some will be short. If you look at it, that's what happened in the world. And it says, then these are of one mind, and they give their power and authority to the beast. So these multiple governments, multiple kingdoms that actually are in force in the world today still give their power and authority to the beast, to the devil. And they rule the world, and many of them are very, very, very difficult and atrocious governments. And sometimes we take our perspective from what we think about the United States, and the rest of the world is not like that in many cases. So it says these are of one mind, all these multiple governments, and there are many of them in the world today. Says they are one mind, and they give their power and authority to the beast. So they are doing the bidding of the devil. And we need to understand that, because governments are not always what we'd like them to be, or what we might even think they'll be. and says, these will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them. Now, that's obviously talking about Christ. There's a great spiritual war going on in the world today between governments of this world and Christians. And we need to realize that, and we need to understand that this is a picture, and I think, of what's taking place, or some of it may even be after. Remember, this is a prophecy of the Christian dispensation. So a lot of what we've talked about, most of what we've talked about in the past, has been in the past. But when we come to a time like this now, there may be something here, and I think there is, that's still talking about future times to us. So it's not all past. We're not at the end of the Christian dispensation. So there's time for more revelation. And it's very hard to understand and come to a really, really strict meaning of what's something that might be in the future. But I think we can do a fairly decent job of it if we'll just follow what it says. It says, these will make war with the Lamb will overcome him, for he is Lord of lords, King of kings. Now we're talking about kings and kingdoms, and God's in charge. Jesus is in charge of the kings of this world. Now it says in verse 15, says, then he said to me, the waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples, multitudes, and nations. Now, bear in mind what that says. Peoples, multitudes, and nations. Now in 17:1, the first verse, one of the seven angels had the seven bowls came and talked to me, saying, come here, I will show you the judgment. What God has said is going to happen to this great harlot who sat on many waters. Now, these waters represent, look what they represent. They represent peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. That's everybody. Not just one nation, not just one city, but it's everybody. This harlot is sitting on peoples of the world. And that's why I think this is a spiritual harlot. The number of people in the world that are profess to be in the Catholic Church is tremendous. More than 1 billion people. You take that and you add all the false teachers around the world, the false doctrines, the things that teach something about us higher being, but it's not. You have billions of people. And this harlot is sitting on these people. That means she's controlling them. And then the 10 horns in verse 16. And this is really something that we need to pay attention to. And the 10 horns, the governments of this world, which you saw on the beast, these will hate the harlot. Now, the harlot is a spiritual power. The 10 horns are governmental powers. Now, listen close. These 10 horns are going to hate the harlot. Now, if you just think about what's going on in this world today, let me tell you something. Governments like to control the people. They don't want anybody else having control. And sadly to say, now, when I wrote this 40 years ago, it was basically the same interpretation. There might be some things I might want to change today, but basically the same interpretation, and it wasn't like it's in the world today. But there are many, many things in many countries today that the governments are putting lots and lots and lots of pressure on people of faith, on Christians. Everything from taking the Bible out of schools, to all these ideas. I read an article the other day that a woman in Finland, which is a democracy, was taken to court for reading a passage out of the Bible about homosexuality. Think about all the things that people want to teach in the United States today. And the Bible says no. Well, their idea then is to get rid of the Bible, to get rid of Christianity. And then they can rule the world. Now watch what the verse says. And the 10 horns, the governments of this world, which you saw on the beast, these hate the harlot. They hate scriptural references, anything to do with God. And it says that they will make her desolate, eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. I think this is saying, sadly enough, I think this is saying that there will come a point in time when the governments of this world will do away with faith in God by most people. I think what we're seeing here is this is a warning to Christians that we must hold fast, we must hold on, and we must be faithful to the end, regardless of the pressures that may be put on us because of governments that desire to control us without anything in their way, and religion certainly is in their way. Now, verse 17, for God has put it into their hearts to fulfill his purpose, to be of one mind and give their kingdom unto the beast, to the devil. God has decided, God knew beforehand, that people can't rule themselves. He told us that in the Old Testament. And he says he's put it in their hearts to fulfill his purpose, to be of one mind and give their kingdom to the beast. Now, that means that the kingdoms in this world, the governmental kingdoms in this world, are still having to listen to the people who, and I think the beast there is the harlot, but we'd have to go back up and dig that out. But that's the eighth beast. Now, so there are people, there are countries in this world that are still bound by their citizenry to do things according to the religious beliefs. Now, that's true in the United States. The government has largely been influenced by Christianity, but they're trying to do away with it. And it says they give their kingdom to the beast, to the devil, until the words of God are fulfilled. So, what we have here is a period of time that the governments are going to try, and I think do everything in their power to destroy religion in this world, that they can control the people. And then verse 18 says, and the woman whom you saw is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. Now, all we need to do is go back to verse 5 in this chapter, and it defines a great city. And on her forehead, this is the harlot. The harlot in verse 1. And in verse 5, and on her forehead, a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. The Babylon the Great was false religion. The church started at the apostolic age when Jesus started it, and then the apostles took it through the apostolic period of time. And after that period of time, they began to fall away. And that Bible talks about that falling away. And the further down the road of time they went, the further they fell away until they became harlots. they had fallen away from God. And those people who were the harlots, then those false religious doctrines and religions of the world, are the great city. The woman whom you saw is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. And that's what was happening at that time. But I think the chapter is telling us that there will come a time when those relationships will be destroyed, and the government will try to destroy the religious beliefs of people in their country. And I think that's the time that the world will end. Okay, I know it's a lot, and I apologize for taking all my time, but we need to be coherent with that. So, Brad, I'll turn it back to you.
All right, I'm going to look at verses 12 and 13, make some observations there, look at verse 14 for just a minute, and then close things out with verses 15 through 18. As I'm preparing for that, and as I go through that, a two-part thing for both Lonnie and Ivy. Ivy, the first part I want to direct solely to you. As you look at the word harlot in verse 16, we heard Lonnie go through that. If you would take another minute or so, and are you thinking there that the harlot is a reference there to false religion, the false religion that we had at Rome, or something else? And then especially to you, Ivy, but Lonnie may want to pick up on this. As we look at 13 through 18, and I'm going to give you a few minutes to take a look at this, would you say that beast ever means harlot in 13 through 18? In other words, when we're back in Revelation chapter 13, it's pretty clear you've got beast one and beast two. But now here, is John always consistent when he talks about the beast, or is he kind of flipping back and forth, thinking back to the first part of Revelation chapter 17, where he talks about the harlot and the beast? So let you think about that and see if you want to add a little bit more. Moving back to Revelation chapter 17, verses 12 and 13, John talks about 10 horns, and the angel says these are 10 kings. We don't always have symbols identified in the book of Revelation, and that can make some things really challenging, and you can really get off into some bad places if you start saying this means that when the Bible doesn't identify this as that. But here is a case where the angel says the 10 horns are 10 kings. A couple points about that that strike me as interesting. If you think about a head in contrast to a horn, the horn is obviously, and Lonnie's done a good job of this, he's pointed out on multiple occasions that the horn is oftentimes a symbol for power in the Bible, and that is true. But if you don't have a head, that horn can't do very much. The head, if you were to choose the two, the head is going to be the more powerful source of authority. So I think that you see that reflected here in Revelation chapter 17. Now, we've talked about numbers in the book of Revelation multiple times. 10, of course, is a number for completeness. It is a number for fullness. So here you have to ask that question. Are we dealing with 10 kings in the sense that there are 10 literal kings? That's a possibility. Are we dealing with 10 in the sense of completeness, fullness? That's also certainly a possibility, since Revelation uses numbers symbolically many times. Or perhaps are we dealing with both? Perhaps 10 kings that were going to be complete or full. Again, we can't answer that question. I do lean towards the idea that 10 is probably symbolic to say that this was going to be a complete number. The angel also indicated that there was a future aspect of this. They said they had not received the kingdom as of yet, but when they did receive this power, when this did come to fruition, it was going to be apparently for a brief period of time, 1 hour. This is the same kind of question we're faced with as far as the number 10. Does 1 hour mean literally? There have been some people who have become rulers and they have literally reigned for a very short period of time. Maybe they had a heart attack or maybe they were assassinated, but the reign was short-lived, a day or maybe even hour or less. But here again, that seems to be in the figurative category rather than the literal category. When you look at the description, one mind, you also find that in verse 17, the Greek text is the same. The wording is exactly the same. And that seems to be a way of describing a political alliance, political agreements, that these rulers would be of the same mind. They would have the same goals and so forth. Then you also see, and this is going to be my last comment as far as 12 and 13, you also see, at least how I see it in verses 12 and 13 plus verse 17, a kind of submission as far as these 10 kings, these 10 powers. But then you also kind of move forward a little bit. When you get down to verse 14, you see that there is a partnership. It looks like there is some measure of equality, whereas before it started out as submission. And then, of course, when you get down to verse 16, there is the attack on this lesser force. So it's kind of interesting that you have submission and then you have hey, we're going to recognize you as a partner. And then there is the turning and the destroying. When you look at verse 14 here, that's where we have the these. Again, I understand that going back to those 10 kings, these shall war against the Lamb. Maybe the other authorities are in there as well. And the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords, King of kings, and they also shall overcome that are with him. That would be the Christians, called and chosen and faithful. When you look at what this book talks about as far as conflict between Christ and the devil, Jesus and his spiritual enemies, Jesus is the one who's always the winner. His faithful people are always the one who are the winners. Describing Jesus as the Lord of lords, King of kings, if you want an interesting cross-reference for that, go back to the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 17. You'll find language there attributed to, we believe, God the Father, and now very similar language is applied here to Jesus. The Lord does not lose. He never loses a single battle. And if his people are faithful, that's what we find in Revelation 17 and verse 14, they also will win. Revelation 14 and verse 4 would be a good cross-reference there. For that, when you think about people being called, and that's what John says here, the people are called. People can have some weird ideas about that, some anti-biblical ideas, but the Bible says that we are called through the gospel. We're called through God's word. Paul made that clear in the 2 Thessalonian letter, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 14. And then you also have this word chosen. Christians are a chosen people. This is another word that people sometimes look at and they come away with some very unusual and very wrong conclusions. If you were to look at that word, though, where else it's used in the New Testament, you'd find that it's found in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 21. Paul talks about the elect angels that could be rendered the chosen angels. That doesn't mean that the angels were chosen because God arbitrarily one day said, I like you and I don't like you. You're going to stay with me in heaven and you're going to be lost. Oh, no. Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4, talked about the angels that sinned. There were angels that made a choice. They were presented with an opportunity to sin. There were several angels that took that opportunity and they were separated from God. They lost their heavenly home. Well, there was no plan for angels. Only man can be redeemed. There are different ideas about that, perhaps, because angels have actually been in fellowship with God. But all people, John 3 and verse 16, can be saved. All people can be chosen. All people can be part of the 144,000 that we've seen in Revelation 7, 4, and also Revelation chapter 14, verses 1 and 3. And then as you move down to Revelation chapter 17, verses 15 through 18, the last few verses in the book, John talks about the harlot. And again, Ivy Lonnie, we're going to ask them to talk about that for just a little bit here momentarily. And John talks about, notice again, how he describes things. He talks about peoples, plural, and multitudes, and nations, and tongues. Now, if we were writing that, we would say, well, one description is probably enough. Two would certainly be plentiful. And then if we get to three, that would certainly seem to cover everybody. But John gives us four different descriptions. Well, chances are he was just not in the mood to write a lot. Chances are, again, four being a number for man and his world, it was a way of, once again, symbolically describing everybody. You can say every person, but the way that John described this, he was certainly being very, very inclusive. If you go back to Revelation chapter 17, verse 1, you find that God promised to judge the harlot. The people that were involved, the beasts that we've read about, they were going to suffer. And you have some additional information about that in Revelation chapter 17, or Revelation chapter 18. But here in Revelation chapter 17, you also see some information about that. John describes the woman. She was desolate. She was naked and utterly burnt with fire. You have here an escalation. It starts out in a way that is not good, and then it's amped up, it's ramped up, it's increased a little bit, and then it goes a little bit more. And then finally, you get to the point where he says it is utterly burnt with fire. It is like it's bad, it's worse, it's terrible, it's awful, and then there is nothing left. It is total decimation. It is complete destruction. So it is one of the powerful ways that you see evil being described as far as God overcoming it or overthrowing it. It is total loss. It is the complete elimination of the power that John described. I think it's interesting, and Lonnie touched on this a little bit, that John said that God put the idea of destroying what he talked about, what we discussed earlier, into the minds of the wicked rulers. The evil leaders were able to use their free will, but still God in his providence allowed for a plan to be put into motion, and the men used their free will and surely thought, we're doing our will. But in the end, just as you think about Satan and Judas, Judas was able to do his will. The Lord said, what you do, do quickly. And Judas certainly took the opportunity to betray the Lord. He had free will to do that, but ultimately he fulfilled God's will, and such is true for what we have here. All right, Ivy, let's go back to that question I asked as far as your thoughts as far as the harlot and who or what that is in verse 16.
Well, you ask in frame of Lonnie's statement that it was false religion and the religious element. There's no religion at all in the harlot, none there. I mean, he invented that with the idea, well, maybe your husband was unfaithful, and so she's a harlot out here, and God or rejected Christianity or religion. That never was on the harlot's plate. That's reading into it things there. And I would simply say, you know what? There's not a zero zip, nothing said about the harlot with any kind of world religion at all. You want something, the false prophet, you got one of those. The false prophet is the earth beast. And he looked like a lamb and spoke like a dragon and was vicious and led the people spiritually wrong. You got the wrong symbol there on that, Lonnie, in my opinion. I'm trying to be nice. I want to recapture some of my time. I tried to talk quickly and try to capsulize this on the rulers and the kings and the 10 kings of the 7 heads. And I want to go back now, and let me use that first chart that I have, Brad, on the shortly come to pass, the time is at hand, because Lonnie's taking a lot of time each time to do this, and he has no time. We talk about time, and Lonnie ignores the time. He goes way beyond the time. If Revelation is not fulfilled yet, that's been 2,000 years. And John was told, don't seal up the book because the time is at hand. It's now 22:10. So after 2,000 years, it ought to be over. Well, I said, no, it could go another 1,000 years if the world lasts, or another 2,000 years. It could be 3,000 or 4,000 years before the Lord. We don't know. I don't know. I'm not going to take a guess at that. But I know it's way too long because this book is written on a short, short time frame. So if you read Revelation 1:1-3, it says it twice. These things must shortly come to pass. Now, either that means something or it doesn't. If it doesn't mean anything, why did he say it? And then he says the time is at hand. At hand doesn't mean real quick. At hand means near. The time was near for them to see the fulfillment of this book, the whole thing. Why I know the whole thing? Because he starts off and tells you this is the apocalypse, this is the revelation. And then chapter 22, 5 times in the last book, he says, hear the stop signs. It's coming. I'm coming quickly. It's over. We have won. Devil has been deceived. The devil has been destroyed. The feast of the false prophet are in the crock pot cooking along. And the harlot went down first. Then the beast, and then the dragon is slain in that. And that's all done within the scope of Revelation very quickly. And therefore, he says, don't seal this up, Daniel. And let's go to the next slide at the top of the page. I want to spend a little time with this because it's answering a number of the questions that were brought up by Lonnie and by Brad. There's a theory that says you got page 2 there. Did you print that, Brad? There's a theory that says the book of Revelation carries on throughout the entire Christian dispensation, which could be another 1,000, 2,000 years. We do not know. And such speculation denies the word of God. It just takes the word quickly and just sets it aside and makes it powerless. The word shortly means something, quickly means something. Revelation 22:1-21, 5 times he says that. Read that. It doesn't say, this is going to happen and they got the Roman Empire goes down, then you got the Holy Roman Catholic Church comes. Catholic Church is still there. The ones in these kings, the heads here in Revelation, they were going to be there for a while, and the last of the 8th one was going away soon. Well, the 8th one would represent the Holy Roman Catholic Church and the Vatican, and they're still rolling on. So it hasn't ceased. I mean, it doesn't fit any of the parameters or the description that we have. The Revelation either fulfilled in a short time or it wasn't. And thousands of years doesn't. And by no stretch of the imagination, we mean that. So the following point should help us focus on the fact that shortly can apply to anything within the next few hundred years, because Daniel set that up for us in the book of Daniel. Daniel 9:44 and Daniel 12:4-9 says to seal up the book. because the time is for many days. Daniel was for 500 years in the future. That was many. The Bible defines that as many days. Shortly come to pass would have to be less than 500 days. If you believe that the Revelation is written in 90 to 100 AD, and that Constantine comes and declares peace, and citizenship is granted to Christians, quit persecuting Christians, let them have jobs, and all this kind of thing, and the persecution let up, then that happened by 325. That's a couple of hundred years is all, 125 years. That's very short time, and that's what the Bible promised, shortly come to pass. The people with this theory that it's the whole Christian dispensation, there's nothing in the book that would indicate that anywhere. Now, the following point, so that you have that. Now, Daniel, I know, was fulfilled because Luke 21, 20 through 22 says it would be in 70 AD. When you see Jerusalem covered with armies, know that their destruction is nigh. If you're in the city, leave. If you're out in the field, don't come in the city, because these are days of vengeance that all things that are written may be fulfilled. Jesus said that. Everything in the Old Testament is fulfilled, not the New Testament. Everything in the Old Testament is fulfilled by 70 AD when when Luke 21, 20 through 22 happened. And Luke 24, as Jesus is ready to ascend back to his Father, at the end of the book of Luke 24, 44 through 47, he says that these things must needs now be fulfilled that are written in the law of Moses, the prophets and the Psalms concerning him. And he goes on to talk about how Christ suffered and died for us, and that repentance, remission, and sin should go into all the world. He says it's time for that to be fulfilled, that all these things are fulfilled. Jesus fulfilled the Old Testament. Not one passage is left of the Old Testament. If you've got something you think the bed of sin, or you think the Antichrist from the Old Testament, no, don't find the Old Testament, the Antichrist. Find it, you know, in the New Testament and find out what that is. But we start calling things names and we ignore the time factor, and we can just end up in a whole lot of problems there. So in the previous point, I encourage you to reevaluate the time fulfillment and realize that the Bible tells you when, and it tells you who the harlot is. The harlot is the city of Rome, the wicked city, the evil city that seduced and killed the Christians. He says that in the last verse of chapter 17. Verse 18. And I don't know what else I can say more plainly than to lay that out that way. You can make it mean anything if you don't attach a meaning to the to what is used over and over. It's going to happen soon. It's going to happen soon. But it hasn't happened yet. I mean, the Holy Roman Empire is still here. Then that is a false, in my opinion, it's a false interpretation of what is being taught there. I believe we ought to go by the Bible and honor the time factor. It happened and it's already happened.
Okay, backing up a little bit, Abby, I want to go back and rephrase my question. We have at the beginning of Revelation chapter 17, a woman on a beast. If you were teaching this in a Bible class and someone says, we've got two items here, we've got a woman and we've got a beast. Is your thinking that we're dealing with the same thing? You know, we're just dealing with one power?
It's the seven-headed, ten-horned red dragon, which is defined in chapter 12 of Revelation as the devil and Satan. That's who that is. The woman is not Satan. The woman is empowered by Satan and sits up on Satan and is out there afflicting Christians. And she is the seducing power of Rome. She seduces them into this immorality and this commerce and all of these wickedness that they did. That's where that comes from. She's not the beast. And I heard that and I thought, wow, you know, we're making stuff up, man. We got the sea beast. You got the earth beast. That's the false prophet. That's the religion part. The sea beast is that which the Roman persecuting power, and it went away and it's gone now. The Roman Empire is no more. And so I believe we'll have it fulfilled and shortly come to pass. Yeah, I hope that answered your question.
Yeah, it did. And I think that dovetails well with the point that Lonnie was making earlier. All right, we're about ready to wrap it up. Lonnie, a quick thought there that you want to add?
Did you have another question or you wanted me to look at or something?
Well, as you look at 13 through 18, the other question was, if you guys want to take a shot at that as well, when we find the beast there, it sounds like you and Ivy both have general agreement there as far as the beast that we're talking about here is the devil. And every time that we see the beast in 13 through 18, are we thinking that the beast refers to Satan?
Okay, well, I just want to comment on what Ivy said about shortly come to pass again.
Okay.
We've heard it over. Am I on?
Not often. No, not often, Lonnie. Every time you do that, I want to go back and take 10 or 15 minutes. You don't let me do that. I don't do it. I don't do it. I try to be polite, appropriate, but I just made this paper up and I didn't read it. I was going to go read it, but I'll give it in point fashion. That you've got to ignore all these roadblocks and stop signs to teach what you're teaching. That was my point there. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. we have talked about shortly come to pass. You cannot, absolutely, folks, you cannot define shortly. If it's shortly in Ivy's mind that it's 400 years, it might be shortly in mine that it's two.
You got Daniel. Daniel tells you, he defines it in Daniel.
No, he does not define shortly in Daniel. He says it will be to the time of the end. That's the end of the Jewish nation. It was a prophecy from the time Daniel lived until Christ came.
70 AD, Revelation, that's about 500 years. That's right. That's right.
Excuse me. Is Revelation is a prophecy from the time Jesus came until he comes again.
No.
That follows the same pattern. Ivy, we've talked about this before. Folks, let me tell you, if you want to understand Revelation, you got to get past verse 1, chapter 1, chapter 1, verse 1.
And 22. Yeah, you got to get past 22, too. No, don't do that. You can't. Don't tell
me. All right, guys, we're going to see a little more of Revelation chapter 18 when we get to the economic side of things. Thank you so much for joining us. We really do have a good time here.
Were you going to talk about 18? Nobody hit 18 but me.
I was going to just mention to you that the beast there is very hard to determine which beast is being talked about. But I do want to remind you that the Catholic Church today is a beast. The Vatican City is a government. It is the smallest government in the world, and it rules and reigns over 1.3 to 5 billion people around the world. And I want to say one more thing about how you define symbols in Revelation. I'll make this quick. You define them by going back to the Old Testament. All you have to do to find out what a harlot is and how it's used in Revelation is go back and look at the number of times God called his people harlots, because they had left him. That's all you have to do.
That's where Daniel defines shortly come to pass. He said, this thing is for many days, so seal it up. That's, 500 years is not shortly, that's longly. So you can't strap, the Bible, I did exactly what you said, I used Daniel. So that's best I can't, if people don't believe that, they don't have to believe it, you know? But go ahead with verse 18, Brad, I think you need to address that.
I was thinking about chapter 18 as far as
17, 18.
Yeah.
So, 17, 18.
We covered that.
Yeah. As far as the woman, she saw the great city reigned over the kings of the earth. So,
yeah, no question who that is, but we have a disconnect there too. I mean, this is for people to study, guys. Yeah. And none of us, I think, came to this thing instantaneously. And I really do believe all of us are teachable. I know I am teachable on this. But when you want to set aside seven times the time factor and say it doesn't mean anything, it does. Goodness, I mean, it creeps me out. I don't
know. You cannot define shortly in years, Ivy, period. You cannot.
I didn't.
You do.
No. Tune in next time.